A new film takes a close look at the first man to walk on the moon, and streaming video services have ramped up their list of horror titles in time for Halloween. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. Ryan Gosling stars as astronaut Neil Armstrong in the new film First Man, and here to discuss First Man and some recommended supernatural titles from the likes of Amazon and Netflix, I'm happy to have back on the program frequent On Film contributor Kyle Alvarado. Good morning, Kyle. Good
morning, Chuck. Thanks for having me.
Been a while since you and I talked movies. So
yeah.
First Man, a big one, early Oscar contender.
I think
so. A lot of people talking about it. Tell us.
Well, so First Man is Damien Chazelle's follow-up to La La Land. He's the youngest best director in Oscar history, and he's lightning in a bottle. And this film, First Man, is the, believe it or not, it's the first narrative film to center on the moon mission. And it's a very interesting film. He approaches it in a way that I don't think this subject matter has ever been approached. There's a lot of fragile masculinity. And the more that I thought about the film, I sort of realized that this film isn't necessarily about the moon landing. It's actually a film about loss and grief. And, you know, the film sort of opens up with a big loss in Armstrong's life. And it's a very solid through line throughout the entire film. And you see it in the cinematography, you see it in the score, the way that everything is sort of built around this sort of capstone experience in his life privately while he's dealing with this massive, you know, one giant leap for humankind type of event. I quite enjoyed the film. What did you think?
Oh, you know, I sat there thinking this is completely different than what I was expecting. And that was a good thing.
Yeah,
you know, it's been almost 50 years since we landed on the moon, and we have this whole generation of the first astronauts that are really passing on at this point. And we're far enough away from those historic moments of the 60s that enough time has gone by that we can either build mythologies around that time period, or we can reevaluate those events in a more detached manner. And that's really what Chazelle and his screenwriter, Josh Singer, are doing here. You're right. It's all centered around Neil Armstrong. I was shocked, and pleasantly so, just how intimate this film is, given the magnitude of the historic event that it leads up to. It's a gutsy move, and I think he pulled it off for me. I don't know about you.
I think he did. You know, there was a lot of things that I really liked about the film. The cinematographer, Linus Sandgren, who collaborated with him previously on La La Land, takes a completely different approach. It's very intimate close-ups. Sometimes I feel like the handheld camera is a little much.
It's a very experiential film for me.
Yeah.
You feel like you're moving with him, Ryan Gosling's character, Neil Armstrong, through the cockpits and the capsules, and you're there.
Well, and then the way he sort of plays with light and shadow, especially once they leave the atmosphere, becomes almost impressionistic how it's played with. I think my one big sticking point with the film is Claire Foy's character, Janet Armstrong. I feel like, you know,
Armstrong's wife.
Yes, and I feel like the long-suffering wife archetype is so played out in 2018. There's nuance that needs to be explored, and I don't want to say it's a disservice to the character or to the person, but I felt that when your first question to the lead actress in the film is, how are you hanging in there, I feel like there's something wrong with the gendered politics of the movie.
Well, but it is the 60s. And I had some issues with that in 2018 watching that character, but I had to put myself back there that this film is so stripped down. It's one of those films that you apply a lot of meaning to things that maybe don't deserve them. But I gave the film a benefit of the doubt that this was the 1960s, that these were people who were born in the 40s, and their politics, their gender politics.
Yeah, that's true.
She was a long-suffering wife, and he was, according to the film, this boxed-up, monosyllabic, unemotional person who made him a horrible, in some regards, a horrible father, husband, friend, but perfectly suited to the demands of being the first man on the moon.
Yeah.
And the kinds of crises he has to deal with in these ships. We get multiple moments in his life from the early 60s to the actual moon landing where he should not be alive except for this almost mechanical ability to separate himself in the moment and focus on the technical requirements that are before him.
Yeah.
And he saves himself and his crew several times in this film.
Yeah. Well, and then the interesting thing is, I like that you kind of looked at it like that way. I sort of looked at it, you know, in the scenes where he's going through these grueling trainings, it's almost as if he's sort of punishing himself for what's going on in his personal
life. I think that's
a
proper inspection of that, because the whole film is so somber and full of melancholy. It's really a film about a depressed guy who's never gotten over the loss of his daughter to childhood cancer. And that is, as you mentioned in your introduction, a theme throughout the film that's pounded home. And it's fascinating that it's overlaid on this massive historic event.
Yeah.
An incredible space program. You know, I think you can't go into First Man without having in your mind the 1983 film, The Right Stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's all about triumphalism. It's about competition among these, you know, jet pilots that become astronauts in the early space program. You get almost none of that. This is so stripped down, and it is, and as you mentioned, the camera is right up in the faces. It's a very intimate portrait of this person that has moments that are rousing and experiential in these incredible space moments, but its heart is really in a very quiet, dark place following this man, Neil Armstrong.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, too, just because of the director, Chazelle, you know, you're tracking his career, and he's approaching this with so much maturity.
Yeah, really a gutsy move, and so I give him the benefit of the doubt for making a film that was unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
Well, moving closer to home from the moon, in your home, some Halloween streaming recommendations calibrated for our long nights and approaching Halloween. We've been looking at some offerings that are filling up our streaming queues. You know, I grew up loving horror films. I was always amazed that projected shadows in a theater could get my heart racing and skin tingling. But I don't know about you, but as I've grown older, creature features and maniac killers don't really appeal to me anymore. But there is one type of film that still intrigues me and gives me a bit of a suspenseful rise. I don't know that there's a subgenre name for this, but I'm thinking of supernatural films that have their feet firmly planted in the rational, the reasonable, and in this world, not the next. So these are films that I want to recommend to listeners that may appeal to viewers who don't usually go in for horror with a big H. I recently watched via Amazon Prime the 1962 British scarum Burn, Witch, Burn. It's a great title. It's a great exploitation title that masks a refined and capably built little gem around a college professor with everything going for him. He's a sober skeptic of anything not based on pure reason, and so his wife's penchant for good luck charms and innocent-seeming dabbling in white magic gets to be too much for him, and he destroys all the protective trinkets scattered around his house. The professor's life and career begins to unravel, and you think, coincidence? This is one of those films that walks a fine line between reason and the supernatural, and you keep thinking, is this just bad luck or an active curse he's dealing with? I won't give anything away, but the film really does a more than admirable job of slowly breaking down an avowed skeptic, and it's beautifully shot in black and white, again from 62. And then two other films by a great director of ostensibly horror films, films of the uncanny, Jacques Tourneur, the 1958 horror classic Curse of the Demon, again a film that sounds more horrific than it really is. It's in a more active vein than Burn, Witch, Burn. Here, Dana Andrews is a renowned debunker of spiritualism and the supernatural who journeys to London to refute the work of a mysterious and quite amiable master of the dark arts. Andrews increasingly comes to suspect he may be himself the victim of a real curse. The real magic here is how masterfully the director eases our protagonist and us through a series of stages of disbelief, and rounding out a trifecta of excellent small films with titles that oversell their horror. Another Jacques Tourneur film, the 1943 RKO picture, I Walked with a Zombie, perhaps the craziest title of the three. It's full of the clash not only of belief and reason, but of Western imperialism and native Caribbean superstition. There's not much zombie here for horror films, but a whole lot of beautifully evocative somnambulism and atmosphere to spare for those looking to ease into the Halloween season. And all three of these films, highly recommended by me, on Amazon Prime and in black and white.
Nice.
Classics, for sure.
So on my end, I was talking with my friend Steven, and him and I love watching horror films, and we had this discussion about there's been this wave of new modern classics.
Yep.
And it starts maybe 2013, 2014 is when it sort of kicked off, and sort of the films that have sort of come out of this crop have been, very interestingly, writer-director films. All of these films that I've selected have been written and directed by the same person. And for me, they all sort of follow the same through line of supernatural. And they're just well-made films. The first one is It Follows. It made a splash a couple of years ago. It's directed by David Robert Mitchell, who is moving on to a much bigger film work now. And it's a very, very simple film. A woman is stalked by a supernatural force after she has a sexual encounter. And it's this slow-burning film. It has this wonderful score by Disaster Piece. It has this heavy synth. It sounds like something out of the 90s. The cinematography moves so slow. I mean, I didn't think somebody walking slowly towards the camera from 200 feet away would be
right.
Terrifying, but this film manages to do it.
And incredibly suspenseful without
yes.
being very graphic.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, at some moments, it does have sort of shockingly scary moments. And then the very next year, A24 came out with this film called The Witch.
Oh, yeah.
God, that one was amazing.
Talk about belief and suspicion.
Seriously.
And supernatural and reason colliding.
And I recommend The Witch for people who don't like horror movies. It's sort of in the same league as the others, where it's just this well-made, deliberately paced film about characters up against black magic and these awful forces of evil.
And set in the 17th century, right?
Yeah, 1630s New England. And Anna Taylor-Joy, who is the lead actress in the film, gives a kind of a star-making turn. And then the last film was one from this year. By the way, The Witch and It Follows are available on Netflix. And this current film, Hereditary, you can rent on Amazon Video. It's called Hereditary. It has the most star power out of all my films. It stars Toni Collette and Dowd and Gabriel Byrne, and all of them are up for the challenge. It's like this cross between Rosemary's Baby and an LSD nightmare. again, it's another one of those slow-moving films. This one has a lot more graphic violence than the other ones, but it's earned,
yeah.
And it's not exploitive at all, even towards the end.
I like that all three of your films really build and, as you say, earn their payoffs. You know,
yeah.
There's no shock cuts or bump scares or things like that, but they really immerse you in their worlds and creep you out.
Oh, yeah.
So for people who want to push it a little further, you've got a really great lineup of newer films. Hereditary, particularly, which came out this year, was pretty disturbing.
Yeah. If there's any justice in the world, she'll get nominated for Best Actress.
Are you somebody that likes to be scared occasionally?
I do, yeah. I quite enjoy it. What about you?
Less and less as I get older, but I like the construction of these kinds of supernatural films because I don't believe in ghosts, but it is fun to watch people of reason try to grapple with things they don't understand. So, well, something old, something new. Thanks, Kyle, for coming in and chatting films with us.
Thanks for having me.
I've been discussing the new release, First Man, about astronaut Neil Armstrong and the events leading up to his historic landing on the moon with frequent on-film contributor Kyle Alvarado. We also made some pre-Halloween recommendations for your home streaming pleasure, or frights, including the supernatural thrillers Burn, Witch, Burn, Curse of the Demon, and I Walked with a Zombie, all classics and all streaming on Amazon. And Kyle recommended the newer films, The Witch, It Follows, and Hereditary on Netflix and Amazon Video. On Film's engineer is Seth Van Meter. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.